This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nothing to me says romance like looking for condoms and Hennessy.
She's the crazy one of the season.
And the drunk.
He calls her Naggy.
His shirt's open like a Colombian drug lord.
He does not like pizza.
Can we talk about the big, wide open fish mouth?
He's like a walking success poster. Yeah.
All right, you guys, the Bachelor podcast is back in action. I'm Christine Lee with Katie Pilata. Hi, Katie. We're sharing a microphone today.
Hi.
So we're going to go by like Doppler effect back and forth. We got Ryan Jones. Hey, Ryan.
Hello. Hello.
And the man of the hour, Matt, is back. Hey, Matt.
I'm so happy to be back.
Or should I call you that little bitch?
I mean,
you know.
Who was it that called me a little bitch?
Jasmine.
She did? I thought did Daniel say something too?
He might have.
You caught some shrapnel.
He seems
Daniel
really
as well.
Cool, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Really
well,
cool.
I mean, you hadn't seen him before.
Yeah. I'm really disappointed I didn't get a chance to know Daniel.
So
he seems like a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, just to give you an idea, his first debut on reality TV, he completely stripped naked like a couple seasons before, jumped into a pool, and you know,
he went to
show his Canadian bacon. So yes, it was a big two-night episode of Bachelor in Paradise. Matt excused himself from the festivities, not before we got a whole lot of, how would you say, it was drama. It was scallop fingers, which I guess that whole thing made me really uncomfortable. I know a lot of people make fun of each other on these shows, but for some reason, when they were calling Kristen scallop fingers with the Alexis doing her Long Island story, and I went and we went to court and this and the drive-thru, and it was just so effing mean
like, yeah.
More so than a lot of other stuff that I've seen.
And the only reason it even happened is because she wanted to go on a date with you. If that doesn't happen, they never bring up this story of how she was in a car and she took her scallops to go, and then she touched me with her scallop fingers, and it was just so mean girls.
Yeah.
And
it was high school.
Really? And just, I was watching that episode live, and so I'm following along on Twitter, and there's definitely a line of people, like the Vinnies of the world, who are like, guys, we're just joking with each other, even though I wasn't there.
Yeah.
But then a very stark contrast to, I thought, most people who were like, this is just mean-spirited.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it went a little beyond having fun with each other.
And Sarah and Amanda sitting there laughing about it as Kristen comes over. I think it was after your date.
Mm-hmm.
After the two-night episode, at the very end, we see a preview. Kristen finds out what's been going on. And
I saw that, yeah.
She seems like, get over it, guys. I was eating leftovers, so yeah. Maybe we're more angry than she
was. But it was just,
I
felt bad for her because she's, my God, I wanted, Amanda, you're my hero.
Right.
I wanted to meet you. And
yeah.
As she's doing that, they're sort of laughing at her as she's sitting there. I'm like,
it's too bad because she's a sweet girl.
You guys seem like you hit it off, like you had some chemistry, you made out in the ocean. I mean,
yeah,
you
we had a good time. I was so relieved to have gotten out of there. That's all I wanted to do for days. And so,
why is Jasmine a little overbearing?
No, not at all. She's fine. She's just, I wanted to see more of Mexico. No.
Good answer. Right?
No.
I'll see more of Mexico 420, please. Ding.
No, honestly, that place, that mean-spirited part of it just started to develop at that point. It just became some place that was supposed to be a lot of fun and you know, easygoing. And like I look at the previews now, it gets ridiculous.
Well, okay, so.
So my point was, I feel like that was the peak of Paradise. I feel like I left at the right time. My only refuge there was my bedroom most of the time. I felt like if I just kind of...
Even that got invaded.
And even that was... because once my bedroom got invaded, then I knew it was time to go. That was just the place I could go and like roll over and play dead, basically, so I would be left alone.
Chris Harrison, he said, when you got to face Jasmine, he said, you got out of crazy. Why are you going to drive back
in? Don't go back.
What happened between you, Jasmine, and Kristen that was such the train wreck of miscommunication? To me, and I don't know about you guys watching, I felt like you were pretty clear.
So you did think I...
We're going to have fun. We're on a game show. This is
right,
fun.
Right,
we're a dating show. And yet, at the same time, Jasmine was clear with Kristen that you're off limits.
Yeah.
But then you came to her and said, I'm not off limits.
Right, no.
So I can see how Jasmine got upset over that. But then later, it was, this is a game. This is a dating show.
That was sort of unbeknownst to me that I was being claimed and that she was being so territorial. I had no idea. Especially, you know, you come in for the first week and then you go on the two-week hiatus. And you come back, it's assumed that everything's just supposed to go back to the way it was. I mean, we spent a few days together on camera, and we went on one date. And then it was like I was hers, and no one else should even come near me. So once I found out about that, that's when I started to get pissed. And that's why I was like, the tipping point for me was when I came back on my date with Kristen, and she just jumped on me. And I'm like, this is sucks. Just get me out of here, you know? So I decided to leave. And, you know, it's too bad because, I don't know, that whole thing got out of hand in like a day. And it just wasn't fun anymore. Once they were at each other, like, I didn't feel like Kristen was, she's a sweet girl. Like, she didn't know what she walked into, which was a shitstorm, yeah. Basically. I think she came there to try to meet somebody. Obviously, you can see that she's going to try to do that now in the previews. So good for her. Good for her that she didn't, you know, let herself get bullied, which is... You know, which is kind of what you see going on right now.
Did you talk to Jasmine when you went on hiatus?
We have a group text going. And then once in a while on the side, you know, she was very nice. Mm-hmm. She was very nice. Like, I don't want to have it be mistaken. She is a real girl from Jersey who gives it to you straight, cares about her friends, her and Alexis, very close. Everybody loves Jasmine. When we were on break, she was very nice to me. She would text me and say, how you doing with everything? You know, because that was a rough time. That was a weird thing to be a part of, to try to, like, I didn't get the press inquiries like a lot of people did, but, you know, a lot of people were trying to find out about the whole incident and everything. So it was a little weird to go through all that. So she'd be cool and she'd text me, how you doing and everything. So we had a few texts to each other back and forth, or a few days where we texted, and maybe... One phone call, which was probably when I got called back to go to Mexico for the second time. And I was a little uneasy about it because I knew that it really wasn't my favorite place in the world to begin with. And now to have to go back again. And she knew that too. That's what's the most interesting part of it. She knew very well that I wasn't into it right from the get-go. And that I was trying to enjoy myself. And so I told her many a times that I might leave, that I really had the majority of me wanted to leave. So she knew very well. So that's why when she sits there and says, I never knew he wanted to leave.
Yeah, but you're a non-confrontational Connecticut guy, and she's a hold my hair, I'm going to get in your face, Jersey girl.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so...
And you were a fan to begin with. You liked
her. I
was. Her.
But she's like, when it's fight or flight, and you have to decide if you want to fight or flight.
Yeah.
And I feel like you decided...
No.
So this is not a fight moment. This is a...
For me.
Yeah, exactly.
No, even in that hot seat, I was very much like, you know what? You want to vent and air it out? Go ahead. Have your day.
You got to pick
your battles. Because I'm done with this, and I'm like way moved on from it. If you need to do what you need to do for your own peace of mind, you know, and so like when Chris cuts it short, that was very much like her platform to just air it all out. For however she, in her mind, however all this played out, then she could just vent. And, you know, she had just seen those first two episodes, so she sees herself, and I don't think she's... Now she's gotten comfortable with it, and that's going to be her role in the show, and that's who she is, and she has a good time. And really, when I gave her my roles, I knew she wanted to be there. She was the queen of paradise. She was enjoying it.
How did you know to come back to do that?
Well, and here's the thing. So what was your timeline? It seemed pretty abrupt watching. Now, I know you said you mentioned to Jasmine that you might leave a couple times, but what's the sort of timeline of they just show you walking up the stairs and you're gone?
Mm-hmm.
Who do you tell? When do you tell them?
I mean, it's like anything else. If I'm thinking in the past, there's been people who have even left The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, and you can go. You're still, you know, you have your free will, but it's going to be a thing. You got to tell somebody, and you know, you can't just walk out the back door and. people want an explanation for why you go. So I went to the producers, and that, like I said, my tipping point was when I came back from the date,
and I realized there was
no room, you know, there for the three of us, you know. So I figured if I remove myself, maybe they could work things out, the two of them. But I knew that somebody had to leave, and I really didn't want to be there that bad. So
when did you tell?
I took it upon
producers?
Myself. So I told the producers the day after that date with Kristen that I was just ready to go, and they said that's fine because this isn't going to get better. It's only going to get worse. So that's not a bad idea.
And how far ahead of the rose ceremony
but I made
is that?
Sure, I think the rose ceremony might have been that night.
Okay.
But what spurred you to come back and give a rose? Because they were complaining about it.
What I told them was I want to go. You know, that was my priority to get out of Dodge quick.
Anymore, yeah,
it wasn't fun anymore. But I said the only way that I want to go is if both of them can stay. She might have joked with me when she came into my room that she was leaving. She had no thoughts of leaving. She loved it there, like I said, once again. And Kristen just got there, so it wasn't fair. And I owed her that. She gave me her rose. She was a good sounding board for me. She was therapeutic through me not really wanting to be there, and then the shutdown and all that. It was good to have her. I thought she was. I still think she's a good person, and that's why I felt like she deserved to stay. So I said, you know, is there a way that I can give her my rose? And she goes, well, and they just thought that, you know, wait till it's time, and you can, you know, diffuse the situation by not hanging around for the rose ceremony. Because, you know what I mean? That just would have, again, it would have continued to boil over and get worse. You know, I sort of sat on the sidelines, and then when it was time, I come back and do what's right, I think.
But you said you told them you wanted both of them to stay.
I wanted to make
both
sure both
them,
stay.
So
both
somehow
stay.
They knew that both of them would
stay. Well, so here's the thing. Yeah. If Alexis never tries to put the dead crab in Jack's mouth.
Again, that was and so disgusting.
And seemingly end whatever agreement they had.
Yeah.
And doesn't give a rose to Kristen.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Well, I mean, they didn't.
Because then, you know, then all, they're both looking for roses.
Yeah. All I said was, I mean, I don't know how they had a sense that she would stick around.
I think the crab probably clued them in. But
yeah. And I think that in Jack at that point, it was time. Like, he needed to go on a date. You know, he needed to get out of there, too. That place is, it looks beautiful and everything, but it's a little.
There's a whole bunch of crazy. Talk about therapeutic. Our resident therapists and Taylor and Derek had a little interesting. Those are my trigger words.
Well, FU is pretty okay, harsh. I get that.
I've been married for 18 years, and I've said off to my husband. I mean,
but if you would have said that to him
when we were dating,
3 weeks into
that's
dating,
a deal breaker. Yeah, that's.
I get it. I mean, because watching it, I didn't think much of it. I'm like, well, come on, like.
No, but her response was very, very therapist. Derek, those are my trigger words, and please join the cult and don't. Did you get that little a little bit? She's awesome, and I like the way she handled it, but it did get a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell, as you said, Matt, that environment is getting toxic. Very.
Oh, I'm
very
sorry.
Quickly.
Honestly, like, I watched the first couple episodes. I'm like, this is kind of fun. My date was funny. I was with my friends. We're watching it. Everybody's laughing. I was like, this is the nice, fun, enjoyable summer show. It's such a relief to all that drama that happened on The Bachelorette. Then you just watch things escalate. So I just think I got out at the perfect time. I have no FOMO. Like, I see the previews. I'm good. They can have at it. You know.
Who said? I think it was Kristen said that you are way hotter in person. She said that on camera.
I think so.
Who do you think looks better in person?
Oh, good question. Good
than
question.
Because I'm thinking, because a lot of people are. Are not, what'd you say?
Adam?
Yeah, because I'm wondering, Adam, I don't get the love triangle that much. And I'm wondering if he's better looking in person. Lacey, I'm wondering if she's better looking in person. Sometimes the camera doesn't give you the credit that you deserve.
I mean, that's an interesting question.
Because sometimes you'll meet someone and you're just, oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah, they short- totally. Yeah.
They also said that about the Tickle Monster.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That he's better looking in person.
Yeah. Right.
So you asking me for the women who I thought
were. Or guys. Like, do you think, oh, wow, that person, that guy or girl in person is, now no, I get think, it. They're way better looking in person.
Yeah.
They're more attractive, even the personality.
I have an answer for how the love triangle comes about. I think, separate from, like, physical attraction, I think that Raven came there very much wanting a very regular non-bachelor type guy.
Yeah.
And I think that Adam was not so, with the little bit of screen time like myself, he was not such, he was more regular and
he's
more new
Robbie.
To this whole thing. He's not Robbie, exactly.
Right. Yeah, I got it.
So I think that that's why she gravitates towards somebody like him. And that's why, and then who was the other? It's him or Sarah.
Sarah
is even cuter than she is on TV in person. Yeah. I think she's cute on TV too, but she, you know, her, like, she's very bubbly and very
New York.
Energetic, New York. you know, she would have been fun to spend more time with, I think. You know, just because she's great to be around. She has a good energy.
I could see you guys together.
I think we could probably arrange that.
Yeah,
I mean.
Well, I mean, I keep in touch with a lot of them. The sweetest, though, my opinion, is Christina.
Really?
I think she's the sweetest of the bunch, yeah.
And I don't think she comes across a little harsh, like Russian harsh.
Well, listen, she has a backbone. I mean, she's I think you're going to see her eventually here stick up for herself. But Dean's so easy to fall for,
no,
you know?
No, Katie has some words to say about Dean.
We can get there. But, I mean, very kind. But at the same time, she's got a backbone, and I think you're going to see that soon. But she's mature. She's classy, I feel like. But the other, let's see, who else? And you know who I really wish that I at least got to hang out with more, or, you know, even if something didn't develop romantically, I wish I just spent more time with Danielle M. I think she's a sane...
Another one who left.
Sweet girl that, you know, obviously you see her and Wells have a moment. But, like, at least I would have, you know, maybe if I hung out with her, separated myself from all that stuff, which...
Crazy.
Yeah, it just got to be too much. All right, so let's hear it. Dean, what?
I mean, I just feel so bad for Christina. Like, my heart was breaking last night. They're both being played by Dean right in front of their faces. Mm-hmm. I don't know, when she said that the orphanage is better than paradise, like, that's...
Yeah, oh my God, like, I missed really, that. I missed that.
That's really bad. And, you know... She was saying, are you leading both of us right now because we deserve to know? And he goes, well, I don't know, yeah. And, like, he just keeps saying, where's your head at? Where's your head at? And he's not answering any questions that Christina and D'Lo are asking him.
And here's the thing.
And I don't blame D'Lo either. Like, she came in, and she knows that Christina and Dean had a thing, but she's not being that jealous type either that the other girls are being, but I don't know.
I don't think D'Lo's in the wrong here, because most of the most awkward situations that we've seen haven't been caused by her. The half birthday cake, the playing in the pool literally feet from Christina.
Like, oh no, it's Dean.
I mean, I guess, yeah, she could, the pool thing, I guess she could say, oh, you know, but that's not her job to figure out where they are in their relationship.
But Dean even said that he knows that he finds D'Lo more attractive, but Christina,
that's one way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah, but Christina is probably the better fit, and he knows that if he goes for D'Lo, Christina won't be as into him, more into him than he's into her. Yeah. And he's banking on that. He's taking from Peter to pay for.
Basically, D'Lo will never like him as much as Christina does, but she's effing hot.
And exactly.
She is hot. I will say that. She probably. No, like, that's why I got to defend my buddy, because if given the opportunity, it's hard to say no when she comes in and gives him that date. She's probably the prettiest girl in paradise, I would say, just physically speaking.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
I didn't really get to know her from the shoulders up, if there's anything going on. I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't really get to know her.
But just from watching it,
we said hello, we crossed paths a few times, but she came in that day, you see her coming down the beach. I don't think, if you're Dean, it's just tough to say no. But you can't have the best of both worlds. So he goes and hangs out with her, and then when he came back and you see him going back to Christina, I figured he had enough foresight to realize that, like, I checked that box, but this girl who I, you know, spent the week with in Kentucky, and there's just a lot of depth to Christina, and I thought he was going to settle back into that. But then he walks that tightrope for a while.
A very tightrope, because as Christina very plainly states, I mean, you can crack the code when she's like, well, we spent the night together last night, and you can put two and two together about what we did, and now, however many hours later, I'm watching him make out in a pool with another girl. That's tough. I felt
ballsy,
so bad for
it's
her.
It's ballsy, and yeah, she doesn't deserve that. She's
like, when you're Deanie baby, I guess you can get away with it.
And he takes his hand. He's laying next to him. He's got that sun-kissed face. He's whole, like a total frat boy. He's laying with his arm around the girl, let's say Christina. He puts his hand on the head, like, possessively, and pulls towards you. And it's so, you know, it's comforting when a guy does that. You think, oh, you know, you just melt into the shoulder. And I, the same way Katie feels, like, what a chess move. Yeah. It's just a total play.
Well, to be fair, it's also at the same time while they're talking about his, you know. Like,
I know.
Can you get it? And just trying with his, you know, do a Jedi mind trick, but with his junk. Yeah.
I guess it just like, I guess
like
when Dean just said Christina's the right choice, but D'Lo is more exciting.
Yeah.
I guess that's,
I think that's what it boils down to.
That's when I was like, you just have to make a decision. And I, from the girl's perspective, they deserve to know too. That's what I'm.
Yeah, I mean, it's you were talking about the Paradise Therapist, but I really thought that I really thought Wells was that guy, having been there and done that a year ago. Like, he had the answers.
She was a therapist in their relationship.
Oh, in their relationship,
yes. Wells.
But Wells was the guy to go to if you wanted some insight into how to approach this. And he warned us. He says, you just got to be in the clear and open about what you're here to do. And that's see what's the best fit for you. And then, you know, when you're, again, walking that tightrope, it's tough to, you know, stay in the clear, basically.
Yeah.
And obviously he's getting himself into some trouble. I flew back with them after the break. I thought they were really cute together. But again, D'Lo is,
she's tough to, hard to resist.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what else I saw coming in my mind in those previews.
Amanda and Robbie, clearly she's not that into him. They wrote a book about it.
Yeah,
and he's
not that
into you, and she's not that into
this
you.
But then
I see those previews, and it looks like it could get interesting.
I feel like she's working her job, and her job is now to be, like we talked about last time, a reality star, and I feel like she wants to do everything she can to stay on the show, regardless of who she's with. And Robbie is the most convenient.
Very similar in a less heartwarming way as Carly and Evan, because if you remember, Carly was not interested in Evan at all, and was just more blunt about it than Amanda was. She was basically saying to Evan's face what Amanda was saying in her confessionals about how, there's just no chemistry, and it's just not there. But then eventually, he broke her down, and obviously it's all history, but this seems to be going that same way. He finally, after whiffing a few times on this moment of a kiss that he needed, which was, as a guy, you feel the like knife to the heart when he went in and she turns the cheek. But then finally he gets it, and she basically said the same thing as Carly, like, oh yeah, it was actually kind of nice.
Yeah. I can see the similarities of those two couples. I think Amanda's and Robbie's is a little bit deeper, just because Robbie was kind of friends with Josh too.
Oh yeah.
And then that obviously didn't end up too well. So I think that they have the same group of friends, even though it's like Bachelor Nation friends.
It is very incestual, because
it's hard.
He's friends with Josh, and he dated one of her friends. I don't know where that falls on the bro code of dating someone that your friend was not just dating, but technically engaged to.
I guess with some of these situations, they're acquaintances more than they are. I don't know. I don't really know, because I know Robbie. I've gotten to, you know, talk to Robbie a few times, but I don't really know the other guy.
He just seems a little, I don't know. Evan was endearing and heartwarming.
Well, that's why I said
And Robbie seems just kind of.
It was easier to root. Easier to root for Evan and Carly because they were both sort of awkward and they were. Yeah, quirky is the perfect way to put it.
Likeable.
But this has sort of followed that same arc, and it just adds that level. That's a great point, Katie, because there's just these different layers, and I understand obviously. The Bachelor universe is very different than maybe real life lines because I would never think of dating someone that my friend was engaged to.
Right.
Like, yeah, you date, it doesn't work out. Hey, sure, fair game.
You know, it's a little bit more of a gray area. Robbie's not bad. He got easier to get along with as this show went on. He really is, I think, at his core, like a pretty nice guy. But he's a Bachelor guy. You know what I mean? He loves it.
And I think Robbie and Daniel have something in common. Aren't they both swimmers?
They both look like swimmers. Just put it that way. Because
give credit where credit's due. They're in good shape, those guys.
They are in
indeed.
Good shape.
This is true.
I think you could see like the 15th ab on both of them.
Oh my God, Daniel and Lacey's date was hysterical. That was funny. Like, it was like the Lucha whatever from WWE. It looked like Lucha. I don't know if it was. But
listen, if you're throwing me into a ring like that, I would not look 1/1000th athletic as they did. I thought they held their own. Now, obviously, it was with kids' gloves. Well,
yeah,
totally with kids' gloves, but still, that's so easy to just totally be a train wreck.
Yeah.
And it was just so fun. And
they were cute.
That's what Paradise, when it's the best.
Yeah.
When it's just fun and they're dressing up in tights and they're being ridiculous and
I think you say it best, because the best times you have are when you get out of that pressure pot on the beach. Like that's really where you get where you see the most as a viewer. Like drama happens on the beach.
Yeah.
And then you need a break. So you want to get out of Dodge ASAP. Yeah. And I mean, that's why when Kristen came in, I was ready to go on a date just because I would have done anything. And then you see like even Ben Z and Jack Stone.
How come nobody
likes
Jack
Stone?
They want
to go. They want to leave. Well,
why?
Have you seen the previews? It looks like a lot of people.
Everybody likes Jack Stone.
He all of a sudden hits a windfall of women.
Before, he was like serial killer. He was like, you're a serial killer.
Well, and it gets back to that because...
Well, you know what? Jack is just so...
Jack Stone, you mean.
Yeah, Jack. Well, he's easy to get along with, you know? And then... I think he spent time with Alexis, who I don't really know what Alexis was looking for, or if she was looking for anything at all. But I think once he figured out that you know, it'd be best to kind of go in a different direction, then the doors start opening up for him.
But we skipped over Alexis. That whole scene opener with the what's in his mouth.
What's in your mouth?
I was standing right there, but you don't see. I was right.
You guys, was
watching
that not
it. I was like, Jack. Well, when I saw the
you
crab
don't dip
go.
Stuff in hot sauce and then shove it in
Well,
because
here's the thing.
Mouth.
I've never done it, but I've seen the game before.
Uh-huh.
And it actually can be a fun game, but you're supposed to abide by the rules of everything has to be properly edible.
Like
you can't eat something that's going to make you throw up.
Correct.
Right.
10
Thank
seconds.
You.
And
you know?
So the whole point of the game is you're blindfolded and you'll pick someone's favorite thing, and they'll at first react because you listen. Make all the jokes you want. If something comes in your mouth and you're not expecting it, it's going to make some waves.
Right.
And that's how it started.
Now you know
it was
how
fine
we feel.
And it was exactly. And it was always good. But then once you get to forget about just making
you
throw up,
that was
could make
cruel.
You sick.
Like legitimately sick.
Sick.
That
yeah,
was no. cruel. You dip a dead crab in super hot sauce. And first of all, you don't know if someone can tolerate the hot sauce.
The Queens of Paradise, they make it a lot of fun, but at the same time, they can be they can cross
bitchy,
that line once in a while, you
mean
know,
mean girl ish.
They're a lot of fun, and they sometimes take it to another level. But
well, he didn't think that was funny,
no,
either.
But they are.
Like,
don't
he,
you think they are the queens though?
No, yes. I think they're bitches.
Oh, okay.
Same thing.
Well, queen, bitch, whatever
same
you want
thing.
To call.
The, obviously, the queen is D-Lo. She's the one that all the guys think is hot.
Yeah, that was a consensus.
Depends on your definition of
queen.
Well,
I think Raven's right there, too, though.
Absolutely.
Everybody seems to want a piece of Raven, too.
Which I don't kind of get. I don't get that
yeah.
at all. I'm not
See,
getting
I,
that.
D-Lo, I thought, was bar none.
Yeah, I agree.
And so... I guess that's my only line of defense right now for Dean. So that's why I'm really pumping that up. But but then I see some. I also see some interviews, and Christina is like, I think she's beautiful.
Is she better looking in person? That's
it's just
another
different.
One.
No, she is. She is.
She's like
when
must
she
be
when
exotic.
Christina when Christina was at night dressed up and her hair tied up in. Beautiful, you know, but you got to understand too, we're on that beach, it's sweaty, like no one is in there looking their best. It's freaking hot. It's but it's just
how do their lashes and hair stay on is what I
oh I don't know.
Know
you'd have to ask them
I don't know
about
how
that.
They do
yeah.
that seriously that's I don't know what glue
well,
they use.
Their extensions don't always stay
but no but I get like it's a difference, you know. I guess when everybody says like sexy, hot, cute, you know what I mean? Like,
don't ever call a woman cute.
Well, I know. But there's differences with people. Like, you know, D'Lo just came in and she there was a lot of, you know, we kind of heard through the grapevine maybe she'd be stopping by. So people were excited to get a
well,
glimpse of
every
real person.
Every single guy when she walked in was like,
yeah,
squirrel.
So I think she pops. Yeah, maybe. So maybe there was a little bit of buildup that kind of fed into it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think if you ask me, but the prettiest girl, probably Christina.
Wow, and Daniel thought that too when he saw
yeah,
Christina.
Yeah, I mean, she's the prettiest, elegant, pretty.
She's elegant.
You know, D'Lo shows up and she's just hot. But
who's the best looking guy besides you, obviously?
I don't know. Robbie's got features that are just a little hard to.
He's weird.
He's too he's Ken doll, you know?
He's like the perfect guy.
Yeah, yeah it's just
awful.
Almost too
the
much.
The hair is just too much. Not
but
good.
Like, I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think? Dean's a. He's the babyface assassin. That's what I call
him. I think the John Krasinski lookalike Derek is really good looking. I like Derek.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Derek.
He's
a humble dude and like really down to earth.
Yeah, I like him. I like the way he handled himself when Taylor said, look, this was really hard for me. I was in a relationship where a guy abused me emotionally with that kind of language. Mm-hmm. And he could have not. But I think because he's 30, he understood what she was saying. Because a lot of you can be right, or you can, you know, or you can be happy.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, you know what?
I
acted like a child, now I'm going to act like a grown up.
Yep.
And he did. I was impressed with that.
No,
that
he's a mature
good.
Guy.
Yeah.
You know, and in my opinion too, the all American handsome dude would probably the award for that would have to go to Ben Z. I think good looking guy. No.
No, okay. I don't get Ben Z at all.
All right.
A lot of them look the same.
Can we talk about his dog, though? Because I really need to know more.
So much more to that guy than his dog.
I know
this
that.
Is paradise.
But he did not do himself any favors because literally every conversation included the dog. It wasn't all about the dog.
No,
and I get
know.
That. And we talk about editing.
I'm not going to pretend.
Don't keep bringing it up.
No, I'm not going to pretend. I mean, you can't. The producers can't, like, you know,
they have to
drop the sound on what you're saying and just feed things and make it look like. I mean, he's talking about his dog. He loves his dog. You know, he's about his dog, but. He's about his career. He's about, you know, trying to find someone, I think, legitimately. He really believed that that process could maybe bring him somebody.
We haven't
but
talked
no, I'm trying
about
to think.
Diggy
who else?
And Dom
oh,
yet.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just thought when they came back from doing whatever it was they were doing, they're walking hand in hand, and she has her hair in the braids now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, oh, my God, it's the This Is Us couple. Like, this looks like, right? Like they support each other. They're there through thick and thin. They have like perfect features.
Uh-huh.
She has this perfect everything.
Well,
so,
and initially when she arrived, it was like
wow.
It was like Hurricane Dom, and then
yeah.
This week it was
we didn't
sort
see
of
much.
We didn't see anything. It was just
except
sort of here's,
in the,
here's
rose
the rose
ceremony. Yeah.
Here's the rose and everything else. It was sort of quiet, but
when I just saw them at the rose ceremony, I thought, oh
yeah.
My God, this is us couple.
It's a good looking couple.
Yeah.
Like every so often, someone pairs off and. That's a good-looking couple.
Derek and Taylor, yeah. Good-looking couple.
Yeah.
Dom and Diggy, really good-looking couple. I was like, wow, that's awesome. So the rose ceremony, Daniel shows up, and then you come back and give mm-hmm. your rose to Jasmine. She's less than grateful.
Okay,
pissed.
Sure.
Whatever.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm still glad I gave it to her because this way she would stay right where she was, and I would head back here to Connecticut.
It's
so I was
better to take
little Connecticut,
like, here,
by the way.
You take this and I'll go.
Your little
yeah,
town
you know,
in
that's,
Connecticut.
I think that was probably my breaking point last night when I heard her knock my home state.
Don't disparage
I
don't, Connecticut.
I wasn't feeling that.
Yeah,
she's from Jersey. Like how? I mean, you're from the Northeast. How much better?
He's from Jersey.
Like I can't figure it out.
I got both. I got
no,
both.
I mean, we're all from the Northeast.
I got both in my blood.
Like,
yeah.
Where are you coming from? You know?
Come on.
Honestly, she, in her mind, this thing was bigger than everyone else thought it was, and so she was angry. And so
she had checked out of you as soon as you left, and then so it was all rampage. Even though, if you'll remember, when you went back to the origin of accepting that date card, and she's like,
Matt,
obviously
origins.
I don't want you to go, but I'm not going to be mad about it.
Oof. Oh. Well, that was...
Oh, really? Oh, but Katie and I both, we know as a woman when we say that, we're hoping you understand that we will be mad at
it. Oh, she did be mad about it.
There was no saying no to that date. But I just think the whole thing where she's so sure of herself and so convinced that we had this connection, and I guess my first feeling is I felt bad. I felt bad when I saw the first two episodes, and I'm like, man, they cut it so she looks a little wacky, but... The more and more I think about it, and the more and more I watch her, I'm like, the editing is the editing, but you can't manipulate it that much.
They cut you up to look sort of wacky, but if you're a little wacky all the time.
But she owns it, though. I mean, to an extent. Like, I think she saw the episodes, and it's that initial shell shock.
Yeah.
But I think then she's like, yep, that's me. I'm here. I'm the queen of paradise. Anybody in my path, I'm just going to... You know, mow them right over.
Yeah, but sometimes the most cocky and the most, I don't know, one who makes that much noise is the least secure.
Yeah, and I think there's something to that, because I will never renege on the fact that, you know, I said it in the hot seat. She's a good person. I do think she's great. And I think some of that bravado, I don't understand it, but like when she's like, you know, he's not good. This date isn't even going to phase him. It's just something to do. What I wanted to do was, you know, get out of there.
Do
please.
You regret it? Like she said, you would a million times. He's
not
gonna
at all.
Regret it.
Not at all, because it got the ball rolling towards me getting out of there. But no, I mean, honestly, I kind of look back and I'm like, you know, we hit it off initially, we had a nice date, but I probably should have just. Surveyed the scene a little bit before I somehow got tied
stop.
In with her.
You did what you should have done.
Well, I mean, no, but I there were a lot of other great girls there. Maybe I could.
We've heard that
taken
from other guys
time,
that
you know?
Get to come back is when they say, last time I sort of planted my flag, and this time I'm going to play the field, and it's a little more risky because you don't necessarily. We saw that with Vinny this time. You don't always get to stick around as long, but. Hey.
Yeah, oh, that's right, because he did it
last
did
year,
it a little
but he got to go to the end, but this time he's like, no, I'm playing the field, although part of that was bro-ing out too much.
Or as Daniel said, put all the chickens in an egg.
What the hell?
Well, see.
That guy.
So that's a good segue, actually. So you guys sort of were ships passing in the night. Did you actually pass him at all? Like,
I never met him at the same time. No, I really haven't met him. I just saw him when I came back into the rose ceremony. I looked up and
so that was the first time you saw
I never
him
talked
there
to him.
And you didn't cross paths
I think,
at all.
I don't think I'm missing much, but I mean we, you know, I heard he was a quirky, interesting guy.
Let me just say this:
everybody seems to just because he's different. You
he's
know?
Very different.
But I think I can, you know.
He went on the
resist. Maybe
what was the millionaire matchmaker with Patty
Stanger?
Yeah, and she did this whole trying to get to the bottom of why he can't ever keep a relationship going. And one of the things she does is she purges your you're playing with deck of cards. She purges your social media, and on his Instagram, every other picture is him half naked talking about how he wants to deflower a virgin. Mm-hmm. Like every other social media post
That's
is
like
about
his...
getting laid.
Yeah.
And she's like, this is such a turnoff to women. Like, no woman
but
wants
I don't
to be
get
a one-night
stand.
That
he would care, though.
Huh?
It does, you don't get the sense by watching the guy that would really faze him. Like,
what would really faze
him? That somebody telling him that every other post shouldn't be about trying to...
Oh, well, I don't know if it fazed him or not, but that shows you what he's about.
Yeah,
is
yeah.
All his posts are
but
about...
But I'm saying, in other words, the matchmaker thing didn't really... Did it do him any favors? Did it change
him?
No,
it's just to promote The Bachelor in Paradise.
All, exactly.
That's all it's for.
No, I mean, we were ships passing tonight. I saw him in the distance. And, you know, again, now I see him on TV, and what a guy.
Well, I would say this about Daniel, because you didn't watch...
But he adds to the show.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't watch any of his season, right? So you didn't see him on The Bachelorette?
No, I never... That was the other thing. I never watched Paradise. So it was like, I wish somebody gave me a heads up, this is how it works, and this is who you should try to avoid. Because I had no idea. I just went in there blindly.
I think it's good the way you went in.
Yeah.
You know?
I think with Daniel, much like Jasmine, plays a very specific character. And it's not to say that either of them aren't being themselves,
right?
But just that who they are.
No, they take they take on a role,
right?
In the screen.
Who they are is. Yep. Has a very prominent place
like
in
the
these shows. Like the twins.
Yeah, yeah, and even that. I hear a lot about the twins.
And
I see
so
the way
Daniel
they work out.
Is mostly harmless.
Uh-huh.
And so he'll say a lot of stuff. Like even right away, he said, oh, so this is like a club at 2 a.m. and
I get the leftovers.
Yeah, the scraps.
Scraps.
He's not trying to be malicious. He's just, he's always saying something that's sort of quirky and just trying. That
yeah, just
how he
not
talks.
And not having a filter,
right?
You know what I mean? That doesn't mean you're. I'm sure if I got to know him like a lot of these guys, we would probably be
because
fine,
what we ended up seeing on The Bachelorette is when Ish got real, he was actually sounding fairly rational at times.
Yeah, he was talking to this one guy Chad off the ledge who was basically
he was
the
crazy
Jasmine
one.
Yes, right,
and would try to make some sense.
Right.
And
yeah.
Now his metaphors didn't always make sense. Much like the chickens into the egg or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But his heart was in the right place. So he says a lot of really silly stuff.
I hear he's a smart guy, though.
And that's the thing. He realizes when things are going off the rail in a not fun way or not Bachelor in Paradise way.
Yeah.
And he's usually been able to come back towards the center.
Yes.
Even
right.
while
okay.
making really silly metaphors.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can see how smart he is in tough moments when people need to be
rated.
Talked off a ledge.
Yeah. He cracks these dry jokes, like real, and you think for a minute, like, oh, okay, yeah.
So I wouldn't
banana,
put him
no.
on your like to
no,
kill
no, no,
list
I don't,
yet.
I don't have that list. I don't really have, and no, I don't have that list to begin with. Like, I don't really know anybody there.
Because listen,
I don't
we all had our knives out as soon as he said that. We're like, oh, Daniel, this
right.
is.
We're
gonna, so what did he say?
I mean, oh, he just didn't because Jasmine was saying like, oh, well, I was in this relationship with Matt, and he just decided to leave, and he chose to leave.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he used the P word or the B word. Both of them were thrown around by different people.
Again, Jasmine is selling to him that we were in a relationship. I had no idea we were in this relationship. So, I mean, I guess if somebody says you were in a relationship and then he left, that makes a lot of sense. But
right.
we were in like a 72-hour fling that she somehow transferred over into a relationship. It is interesting that you compare Chad and Jasmine because I met Chad in L.A. and sweet guy when I met him.
What
like,
was he doing?
And then
Instagram.
He was hanging out at a club when we were there.
Oh, when you had your...
I think after the men tell all.
Yeah, and
so,
you guys got to go right in, didn't have to wait.
I was like, this is a guy that everybody...
hates.
Yeah, he's a pretty nice guy. But then, you know, everyone once he gets drinking, which a lot of people. But Jasmine does have a soft side to her. But not when the cameras are on, and really not when they're off either.
Or
but there are moments with her.
Flowing.
Yeah, there are moments with her where she can be soft. But you know, for the most part, she's pretty. What you see is what you get.
What is the Tickle Monster's actual doctor?
He's a doctor.
I know, but what kind of doctor?
He's a doctor. So, he's a very smart
family
dude.
Family medicine.
Yeah. So he did. He was. It sounded like he was an OBGYN first because he was. He was delivering children, but he said he hasn't done that in years. Now he's just a family doctor.
So he's
he
slid
has
into
a
family practice. Okay.
He has his own practice.
Wow.
In Florida, yeah. I'm not exactly sure.
He must be in a practice with a bunch of other doctors that allow him to leave for extended periods
of time.
Well,
and here's the thing with him.
Away.
Is Tickle Monster being a legit doctor? Top 10 upset in Bachelor history.
Is it good for his brand? Like, oh look, Dr. Jonathan is here.
Oh, you mean for his brand as a professional?
As a professional. Or is it a different audience? The people who go see how
we all hope it's a different audience.
I was.
I think some of us make that a priority, but like.
You can't see him in scrubs stitching something.
I was totally creeped out by the Tickle Monster thing. I'm still not totally over it, but. Seeing him walk in, as Katie shivers. Seeing him walk in and see multiple women there say, "Tickle me!"
Jesus. It's funny because, like, the quirky stuff, people kind of scratch their heads when they see it on The Bachelorette. You know, like, the first night is quirky, obviously.
Because you're trying to, like,
penguin suit
remember me.
That first episode, I feel like, of Bachelorette and The Bachelor is supposed to set everybody else, 98% of the people, or 99% of the people who don't end up with someone at the end of the Bachelor or Bachelorette. Now they get to segue, if they have a shot at Paradise, and bring all that quirkiness
with
them.
That's their persona.
And Paradise is perfect for all that.
Yeah.
And I didn't, again, I didn't, don't you think though? I mean, it's a silly show.
Yeah.
It's a silly show.
I mean, look, they kept subtitling Kristen as Scallop Fingers throughout the entire episode.
I mean, my freaking subtitle was Penguin the whole time.
I know, it's stupid.
But so I think sometimes it's a little overkill, but... Yeah.
But
you know,
with Tickle Monster, and if we can call him that, so did you know, like, did you get to spend any time with him before Paradise?
On The Bachelorette, yeah. He was actually the first guy, I remember, after the first rose ceremony, he's the first guy whose name I got was Jonathan. It was not Tickle Monster. I met Jonathan. Down to earth and normal. You'd stick him in that category with probably myself and Jack Stone and a bunch of other guys, which I thought majority of my season, Bachelorette, Rachel season,
were normal guys.
Was pretty normal guys. You got to give us credit.
Except,
I mean,
DeMario.
And even DeMario has been pretty cool since. I've gotten to know him better. That was my only takeaway from Paradise, was that I got to spend more time with DeMario, with Jack Stone, with even Iggy, Diggy. Got close with those guys, whereas if I didn't really, because our time was limited on The Bachelorette. But, Jonathan was one of the... was probably the first guy that I got to know. And I didn't know that he'd be in Paradise. That's the other thing with Paradise. I didn't realize... There are guys that, from what I hear now and I understand now, showed up there. Now, when I left, there was like 5 days of filming left.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they jam a lot into those next 5 days. I mean, it's going to be fun. You see what's coming up. I'm glad to be watching from the sidelines.
So all that we saw, is that's all in 5 days?
5 days filming?
About a week. I mean, but think about it. Like, rose ceremonies are every few days. Things move very pretty fast in Mexico.
They brought the twins back. They brought bisexual Amy.
Yeah, her I didn't.
Jamie.
Maybe someone had mentioned to me that she was coming.
I mean, Chris Harrison made a big deal. Like, she likes to go both ways.
Yeah.
So both. And then she's making out with Jasmine.
Hey, we welcome all kinds here. So God bless.
Honestly, I don't know. But am I right in saying that, though? It just looked like it hit the fan when I left. Yeah. I mean, did it not?
Well,
so I'm looking at it. I'm like, perfect
it
time
did.
To go.
The twins were in rare form, and then you had Jack Stone making out with everybody, and then you had. It looked like it was exciting, fun time for the.
It's one way to put it.
I don't know.
Depending
love is
on
in
what
the
you're
air
looking
all
for.
Over the place.
And I think with not making the decision of who the Bachelor was before in Paradise, I think maybe they were hoping, hey, maybe we'll get lucky, and there'll be another
Jack
Nick.
Stone.
And I mean, should we start the?
It's a long season.
Should
to
we
watch.
Start the Tickle Monster for Bachelor? I mean,
as a doctor, wasn't the very first Bachelor a doctor, and we never heard from him again?
Well, there are a lot of guys who never heard
see.
From.
I'm trying to think who else you see in those previews, though. That I didn't know that
because they're gonna have to make the decision soon.
The mustard has come off the hot dog for Dean as the.
That's what I'm saying. I think they came in.
Is that
thinking,
the case though? Really? Like I haven't.
I don't think he's going to be our Bachelor.
No.
Yeah,
okay.
He's not made a lot of.
And I don't. I'm not thinking Peter either.
Well, and even the one of the creators had even said, like, why would we pick someone that doesn't want to get engaged?
And
so my honest feeling is, and you know, it's too bad because I would love to see somebody from Rachel's season. But I think it's going to be somebody from the past. I don't think it's going to be anybody off.
Have they approached you about it?
No. At this point, no.
Not interested? Or are you too Connecticut?
too little Connecticut.
I mean, too little Connecticut.
I guess you. I think you said it best, like, I'm the reluctant reality person.
You are a reluctant reality star.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still like none of this stuff, you get a lot out of it. I mean, it's not like it's for nothing. It's just some people are better TV than others.
When you get into a drama, you don't want to deal like, you know what, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, but they're older. Like, yeah. There are other older people, like who I mentioned before, Danielle M. She wanted no part of the bullshit either.
That's
you know?
Like the fourth time you've mentioned her. We need to get you guys together. Seriously.
Wells is pretty ripped these days, actually.
He was a pencil neck geek on his episode.
He was a radio geek, and now he's
a bad. I mean, Wells is cool. Wells is cool. He deserves all
he
the
fanfare. He did the puppeteering
fanfare
and the jokes.
And he's hilarious. I didn't see any of that puppeteering stuff, but like, he's cool. Have you guys ever met him? Because he's
no.
a radio too. Yeah, he's.
Yeah, all of us radio people know each other.
Oh, hell, yeah, it's a secret little world.
It's the same
that everyone lives
it's
in.
Fine.
Yeah. No, but he's a lot of fun.
He lightened
the one
up
who kinda,
the situation.
Yeah, he definitely lightened up the situation.
Yeah.
He's the one who kind of tipped me off too, because I felt bad. Like, man, I should have just sat Jazz down and been like, you know, this is not happening.
Don't second
and he's
guess
like,
what
nah,
you did.
Man,
yeah.
you it should have been under. It should have been understood. And she's going to look like she looks. And so he had a sense of things. That's why he was the perfect bartender.
Yeah.
Because he kind of knows how all this is going to play out. He's watching kind of off to the side and taking it all in, you know.
Can you go from Bachelor in Paradise bartender to Bachelor?
I think he'd be a good Bachelor.
Because Deanie's
shaking her head. Yes, you think so?
I think he'd be a good Bachelor.
I think he would be a great Bachelor.
Because Deanie Baby has hurt his case. They've already, the show is basically already more or less said it won't be Peter.
And again,
let me raise my hand,
We've
though.
We've forgotten Peter already.
I got a suggestion. So, two things. I think that he's got all the charisma for it. Wells. But there's another guy with a lot of charisma that we mentioned in the last time I was in here.
Who?
Eric. Who looked very bachelorette.
Yeah. He did look very bachelor.
When we saw his classy departure
with the beard kind of growing in.
He's actually in New York. I'm trying to see him this week. I miss him.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm going to hopefully head there and spend some time with
him. You know who we haven't talked about at all, and she's on the show for a minute again, and we're still talking about is Corinne came back. I know. We had to relive some of the moments of the season so far, and then they rolled her out, and she said...
Rolled her out, because basically even that day in Mexico, you sort of needed to just like roll her down the beach. Because she was like basically just, you know.
Blotto.
Spaghetti.
Yeah.
I mean,
right away.
But then there were some things. Obviously,
what
she
was
on some. I don't know. I wasn't in her.
I don't know if
clearly nobody
carry
knew
on.
Because
but,
that
I mean,
was
some,
the problem.
There was something. And that's why I didn't realize. But when we all went back, like even vitamins had to be sort of confiscated and regulated, and that's why, obviously, because some medication played into it. Because the way she was the first day, we've all been really smashed before. This wasn't just booze. Obviously, it was a reaction to something else. Not to make any excuses for her, but like she was out of it that day.
But do you guys think that the story has been changing and changing? Because after the incident, it was, I am a victim. Now, let me just say something about saying that I am a victim. When you say you're a victim, it implies something.
Uh-huh.
Okay? It implies that you've been, like, people automatically assume that you've been sexually assaulted.
Yeah,
that is,
I mean,
the whether she meant it or not.
When she came back later and said that she didn't. She meant it in a different way. But yeah, it's a tough word to say.
It's a tough
thing. I'm sure if she could take him back now, she would.
And maybe
I felt like
she
thought
the
show.
She's a victim.
Maybe. I feel like she just.
Publicity?
I feel like more than anything, I feel like, you know, we're all adults here. We all can. We all should be able to handle ourselves in this situation, not take it too far.
But
I think she like wanted the show to tell like
moments.
You know, sort of babysitter, and you're there to like have a nice time and meet people and party, and it's not up to.
But she
it's
has
not,
a nanny
it's
in
not
real
like
life.
Up
you just
to
said babysitter.
Us. Yeah, I think that's what she needs.
But actually,
really.
That's a good point.
Maybe they can bring the nanny with her on
because
to
if
Mexico
you think about
next
it,
year.
You're definitely you're almost. Like when you're on The Bachelor, it's almost like you are being babysat because you're in the house, and even if you get drunk or nap, in her case, where are you going to go? Like,
yeah,
there's only one guy and a bunch of girls, so even if you get drunk and pass out, the girls are going to take care of you. So
yeah, that's true.
But I just was wondering, Katie, what you thought of her. I am a victim, and I still feel like I'm a victim, but I don't blame DeMario. How was her? Her spin on the situation.
I think that she was just as confused as she was when this is all happening when she was interviewed last night. I don't think she really cleared the air on anything last night. And there was a point to have her sit down with Chris Harrison because this is the season that it all happened, but I don't think that she answered any questions or cleared the air on anything.
I mean, and I didn't really pay that close attention, but like the ideal thing for you to do is just own it completely and say, you know, there were, like, did she really just say DeMario has nothing to be sorry for? Because he really doesn't.
She did. She did say that.
She did. Okay, then good. So that's halfway towards, you know.
She said that she had, like, everyone does every now and again. I mixed, I had too much to drink. And then she said, I mixed medications and alcohol, which I didn't know you couldn't do. And I don't know, even my children know not to mix
her issue,
alcohol.
She
and
took
pills.
More.
He was home, though.
Yeah.
Right.
She took more issue with how.
Was it Raquel or something?
How he went to the media.
How he reacted to it was more what she took issue with.
That he went to the media right away.
As opposed to waiting. But. I mean, at this point, we're splitting hairs.
He needed to
clear
his name as a man.
Yeah, that's not. It's not fair for DeMario to, you know, I mean, is he supposed to go into hiding? Like he, those that come. First of all, we couldn't even get home from Mexico yet before the news was all over the place. And right away, this guy's getting these heavy duty words attached to his name.
Sexual
and you
assault.
you see, like what the things his mother was going through, trying to defend him and everything. Like, you know, you got to get out in front of that, or else. You very quickly become pigeonholed as that guy.
Well, you're labeled for the rest of your life, no matter what. And you know,
it's just not fair.
And he had just, he was fighting an uphill battle.
I think he's rebounding nicely, though. I do.
Why do you say that?
Well, I just think he had a nice moment with Chris Harrison. You get to see the soft side of him. And he's just not a bad guy. I mean,
good.
Hopefully, you know, in some way, you'll see more of him in the future. I don't know what, but I think... you know, I don't think he's just going to go back to being a regular guy. Like, he could be, I could see him on something. I know they talked about, like, Dancing with the Stars for a while.
Yeah.
But, I mean, couldn't you see him doing something else?
Yeah. And especially if Rachel and or Brian are out of the picture for Dancing with the Stars, and I don't know that they are. Why not, if you need someone from the universe, why not DeMario?
That's not off the table for him.
Yeah.
But
have you been offered anything like that?
Nah. Nothing like that. You know, I haven't really put myself out there just yet.
Yeah, you're so shy. You're shy, but you're not shy.
No, I mean, I'm not shy.
You are. You're like, you're reluctant.
I don't want to just dive all the way into reality TV. I mean, I have some other ideas and some other, you know, opportunities
Did Jasmine scare you off from having, like, a serious,
you know, honestly, like, there's another...
intimidating women?
No, I mean, there's another show that they're developing right now that's going to be filmed before the year's over, from what I understand, and it'll air in February. Yeah, they talked about it. Winter Games.
You're involved in that?
Well, I mean, there's a possibility, and I would consider it if it wasn't all into the hooking up, and all about the hooking up, and all about the finding love.
It's The Bachelor, of course.
Yeah, but there's some. This is going to be a competition deal.
Athletic.
Is going to be more about, it's games. It's like their competition show, from what I understand. So,
well,
I mean,
what's your sport? What are you good at?
I mean, I could play the basics, football, basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't envision myself on skates, but I could figure it out. Or even skis can be a struggle. But I mean, I'll consider that.
Do that.
Maybe. I don't know yet. I don't know yet.
Come on, Matt.
I mean, you guys want me to go down this road?
I do. Yeah? I do want you to do it.
You
want to
see more of me?
I think you deserve it because you're one of the nicer guys on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And because I think you got pigeonholed with a very strong hurricane of a woman personality and then a very meek personality.
Uh-huh.
And you got caught kind of in, you just decided, I'm not going to be involved.
I got caught
Like, you learn. And now you know how you would do it different.
Well, no. Honestly, I'm eager to, if I do... take advantage of another opportunity. I'm eager to go in there very much in control of what's going on and knowing what to expect. And not just like, yeah, this looks like a cool place to hang out. I'm not really sure. And then the, you know, life of the party comes and scoops you up and tries to, like, encourage you to have a good time. That was fun for a little while.
Just remember.
But then the crazy barometer just went wacky.
Everybody has an angle, and you have to remember that. Like, everyone has an angle.
Yeah, and I mean, again, it's not just for camera. Like, even when we've talked, you know, that's why I do feel bad. She, I probably should have been more direct. But in the future, no, I mean, I'm trying to own that.
I feel like he's beating himself up about this.
I'm actually with him there.
I think
I should have just said, but again, when I say direct. I needed to just say,
not Daniel direct.
No, like I need, that. But I needed to say, look, this isn't going anywhere, so go do something else.
Yeah, because when you saw him try, it was, she said, well, I'm going to give you my rose, you give me yours. And then you're like, well, hold me in suspense, we'll see.
Well, I mean, there was,
she told him to go on the date, but it was an angry, go ahead, go have fun. Like that kind of
I'm not going to get mad.
Like, I'm not going to get mad, go
but
ahead.
But before
whatever.
That, like, I think there definitely could have been some. Because then you
I
went
did.
Back to that.
I was sitting on that day bed with her by the pool. I was very much like, listen, if we get offered other dates, we should go. We're here for a short time. Let's take advantage of the opportunity to meet somebody. You know, I like you, but I don't think it's... But I should have just said, you're a nice girl, but I'm not interested. I mean, that's the only way. I needed to be blunt.
I thought you were interested in her.
Well, then good. We'll go with that. Okay. Oh, no, that I was interested.
A little bit, yeah.
At first, she intrigued me just because she was so much fun, you know?
Yeah.
And
then
you
it
know,
got out of control.
But then it wasn't fun anymore. For a few days, it was fun. And, you know, she was good at, like, livening me up a little bit because I was, again, I'm usually a little pretty mild-mannered there hanging out with my buddies. But, like, she's like, come on, just take, you know. Have a good time. So she was good for that. But then...
That's everything in life. It's fun until it's not fun anymore.
Yeah, there are a lot of good options there. If I went back down that road again, I'd probably take a look at what's available a little bit more and then try to pursue something a little bit more in my...
League, whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm not against...
Maybe play the field a little
bit more. Yeah, I'm not against doing... More, but I think I might be doing a cooking show actually.
What?
Yeah.
Which one?
I can't really say, but it films
where
locally. Well, it's not really for sure yet.
Not Better Connecticut.
No. It's going to be a show that I can't really say too much about
it's
it
national.
Now, but yeah, like I might just do some
does
guest
it,
stuff on there.
Does
It'll
it
be
film
on TV.
In Stanford?
No, it doesn't film in Stanford.
It films in
but
Connecticut?
But I'd rather get into doing something that's more, you know, something that I'm really, like cooking. I love to cook. So,
what?
Like...
What's your signature dish?
That's a good question.
I mean, I know we're running long here, but what is it?
Well, what do you
scallops?
Like?
Oh, I scallops. What's your... I do like seafood, to be honest with you.
Okay. Swordfish.
I love swordfish.
So how about
really
this?
A mean piece of swordfish.
Nice.
You are going to... Provide us with your favorite swordfish recipe.
Okay.
And how you would prepare it.
Uh-huh.
And we are going to put it on 965tic.com, which hosts this podcast. And everybody that listens is going to be able to go and be able to cook like Matt. How about
Perfect.
That?
Perfect.
Cook
like that
Matt
idea.
Is even the name of the new show.
Yeah. If I stick with you guys, I'm going to have a future in this.
Absolutely.
That's
don't
right. We're
that.
At the top, baby.
You know what I mean, you're just
top, baby.
It seems like you're always thinking, you know?
That's
always.
What it's like at the top, baby. You know, this podcasting world just can't keep
That's
us down.
Right, this at is the top. I guess we can't go any further with this. I mean, we've packed a lot into. I know we had a lot to get to. Did we cover all the bases, Katie? I feel like I was like all over your microphone here.
No, I think so.
The elbows weren't nice though, Christine.
Yeah, so, yeah. I got shoved a few times, but it's fine.
All right, so Matt, thank you.
Thank you, guys. I feel like I hope this is the end, you know?
It's not. This is the beginning of a long relationship. I see cooking taking us far. This is very exciting.
And once we see some of the more drama that pops up.
Unfold.
We're definitely gonna
reach out to me,
and we're gonna
we'll discuss it.
Yeah, we're gonna use you to also I think ambush some of the folks on the show to try to get them in the hot.
Oh
the
yeah,
real
yeah,
hot
yeah.
Seat.
We could do that
because too many people are getting off easy here. You shouldn't have to be the only person that has to sit in the hot seat.
Well, I don't know that. I mean, I think there is gonna be a reunion show.
Oh, we're
yeah,
better
of
than
course.
That.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I got so like somebody called me this morning and said you got to cut off in that hot seat. But it's true though. I mean, sometimes you can say too much, and so I was
Chris
okay
saved
with it.
You. I think that was
no.
A
that's
good
what I
out.
Mean. That's what I mean because she wasn't gonna let off. You know what I mean? She was just gonna keep going, and so. Sometimes I just figured take the high road.
No, I laughed out loud when he said that. When you get out of crazy,
yeah, I mean,
and
I think
drive
it was,
back
I
in.
Think because he saw what I went through, so he's like, "You're out now. Yeah, stay where you are. You're good."
No, not at all. But we will.
Her facial
we will always have a road back out of Crazy Town for you. Right into here.
I feel so safe here.
This is always a safe zone for you.
This is my safe place. Thank you, guys. What would I do without you?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.